Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
Our last speaker for Senior Preaching Week comes to us from the country that saved Western civilization and whose lilting tones, we are told, are reminiscent of those dulcet sounds of heaven. Tim Robinson came to Dallas Theological Seminary from Northern Ireland with a desire to be better equipped for ministry. He leaves to return to that country with more than he came seeking. He takes his wife, Carrie, for which I am told his mother is eternally grateful. Tim, come and share with us what God has put on your heart.
It's a great honor for me to be here today and to share with you in this way. I'm delighted to be here with you this morning. A few years ago, when I was living in England, my brother had the wonderful idea that the two of us should go on a vacation together. And after looking at different European cities to which we could fly, we decided we would go to Barcelona in Spain during the month of May. The week leading up to that vacation, I was excited. I spent 5 days packing my suitcase. 5 days. Have you ever heard of any male in this earth spending more than 20 minutes packing their suitcase? But that's how excited I was. 5 days. That whole week leading up to the vacation, I made sure that everything I needed for that vacation made it into my suitcase. My shorts, my flip-flops, a change of clothes or two, my toiletries, even my earplugs because my brother really snores. Everything that I needed for that journey to Barcelona made it into that suitcase. Except one thing, my passport. Of course, flying between two different European countries, you need your passport, right? Everybody knows that. Well, when I realized as we were about to leave our home to go to the airport that I didn't have my passport packed, I ran upstairs to my bedroom and I looked for it in its usual resting spot. But to my horror, it was missing. And even though my brother and I frantically searched and searched in our home for that passport, it was nowhere to be found. And as a result, we had to cancel our flights. We had to cancel our hotel. We lost all our money. And my brother has never quite forgiven me for that episode of my life. But you know, at seminary, we have packed so much into our suitcases, ready for the journey into ministry. But wouldn't it be a shame if there was something like that passport, which was essential for our journey, but was missing? Wouldn't that be a shame? Think about all that we've packed into our suitcases here at seminary. For the THM guys, 120 long hours. Can I hear an amen? 120 long hours. And for all of us here at DTS, we've packed so much into our suitcases, getting all the essentials in there, ready for our journey into ministry. Greek and Hebrew, theology and Bible exposition, counseling, spiritual formation, even a class called RS 101 where we had to read a book by a lady named Turabian. That was a challenge, but we've got Turabian in the suitcase. Everything is ready to go. Our suitcases are full. We feel like we're ready to go on this journey into ministry. But before we go, I want us to check that we have one more essential element for ministry packed, and that is commitment. Commitment. True commitment to Christ and His work, for we will need that in abundance if our journeys into ministry are to be a success. If we are to stand strong in ministry amidst the pressures and the demands of leading a congregation week by week and day by day and moment by moment, we will need commitment. If we are to keep going when there's discouragement in ministry, when there's criticism of our leadership or criticism from people outside of our congregations who are criticizing our preaching or our teaching, if we are to keep going in those moments, we will need commitment. If we are to remain faithful when we are tired and weary and burnt out from ministry, from serving on the front lines, and when we come home, we are tempted and we're hit hard with struggles and sins, if we are to remain faithful in those moments, we will need commitment. True commitment to Christ and His work is like that passport. It is essential for the success of our journeys. If we want to have a successful journey into ministry, if we want to have a successful time spent within that place called ministry, a success in the sense of bringing God glory all of our days, no matter what we face, we must ensure that today, as we pack our bags, as we pack our suitcases to go on this journey, that we really do have true commitment to Christ and His work packed in our suitcases. So today, as we zip up our suitcases, as we get ready to go on a journey into ministry this summer, or as we graduate and we get ready to go on our journey into ministry for the rest of our lives, and as we seek to ensure that we really do have true commitment packed in our suitcases, I want us to ask and answer this question. I want us to ask, if our ministries are to be a success, in what ways will we need to be truly committed? If our ministries are to be a success in bringing God glory, no matter what we face, in what ways will we need to be truly committed? And to answer that question, I would love it if you could turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to see a summary of Paul's ministry as he writes back to the Thessalonians, a summary of what his ministry was like when he was with the Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, as we read this summary, we're going to pick out three ways in which we will need to be truly committed if our ministries are to be a success. So as we turn there, let's note firstly that if our ministries are to be a success, we will need to be truly committed to courage in proclaiming God's truth. If our ministries are to be a success, we will need to be truly committed to courage in proclaiming God's truth. Read with me verses 1 and 2 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul writes, "You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered, we had previously been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you His gospel in spite of strong opposition." Do you remember Philippi? Do you remember what happened in Acts 16 to Paul and Silas? They were ministering for the gospel. But in Philippi, Paul and Silas received a severe beating. They were stripped. They were flogged. They were thrown into prison. Their feet were placed in stocks. Paul received a severe beating in Philippi. But amazingly, in spite of this, he picks himself up and he journeys on to Thessalonica. But what was before him in Thessalonica? Verse 2 says, there was strong opposition. The Greek word here for opposition speaks of a contest or a battle. Do you hear what Paul is saying? He's saying, guys, don't you remember, in spite of a severe beating in Philippi, in spite of a severe battle which lay before me in Thessalonica, with the help of our God, as he says in verse 2, I dared to tell you His gospel. What courage. What amazing courage from Paul in the midst of a beating, in the midst of a battle, no matter what he was faced with. He made sure that as he went to Thessalonica in his suitcase, he had packed true commitment to courage in proclaiming God's truth. I'll never forget in my first year at DTS 4 years ago, talking to another international student. And in my conversation with this girl, she told me that she was from another country in the world where there was much opposition to the truth. In fact, she said, if you are very open in your proclamation of the gospel, there's a good chance that they will kill you. There's a good chance that they will kill you for it. And so I said to her, so what do you want to do after DTS? Where do you want to go? And she looked at me in the eyes. And she said to me, Tim, I want to go home to die for my faith. I want to go home to proclaim God's truth, even if it means they will kill me for it. What courage. What amazing courage. Do you have commitment like this to courage in proclaiming God's truth? Do you have commitment like this packed in your suitcases right now, ready for the journey into ministry? I want to urge you, be committed to courage in proclaiming God's truth. One way that you can do this is by constantly reminding yourself that you are in ministry to please God and not to please man. That's what Paul did in the second half of verse 4. Can you see in verse 4 what Paul says? He says, we are not trying to please men, but God. And in verse 6, we were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. Paul was certain that he was in ministry to please God alone and not man. So as you go out into this postmodern world where there is no ultimate standard of truth, as you are invited to speak on the university campus that ridicules a belief in God, as you climb those steps into your pulpit on a Sunday morning in your church to preach, and your church is surrounded by other churches that are watering down the gospel, and some of your members are leaving to go to this church and that church where they're watering down the gospel, and you're not sure what to preach on Sunday by Sunday, as you are faced with all of these challenges, remember that you are in ministry to please God and not man. Write it in your Bible. Write it on your planner. Have it at the forefront of your mind and the bottom of your heart. You're in ministry to please God and not man. And if you remind yourself of this, this will give you courage to proclaim God's truth in all of its fullness, no matter what you may face. So firstly, Paul has shown us if our ministries are to be a success, we will need to be truly committed to courage in proclaiming God's truth. But unfortunately, we have many people in our church culture today who just have courage to preach, but who leave it there. They have courage to stand up and preach and tell everybody what God's word says, and that's needed. But we also have many, many people who don't take the time to care for the people to whom they speak. One of my heroes is Winston Churchill. He's a hero and he's British. What more could you get than that? He's a heroic Brit. And there's many of them, but just Churchill is one of my favorite heroes. And I heard this story of Churchill in a conversation that he had with a lady who worked in the office next to his. This woman was very, very critical of Churchill, always looking to get at Churchill, always looking to put him down in front of others for his leadership or his personality. And to Churchill, she was most unattractive. To Churchill, this woman was most unattractive. On one occasion, at a social gathering, Churchill, unfortunately, had a few too many glasses of wine, and he got terribly drunk. And this lady thought, this is my chance. I'm going to go to him, and I'm going to tell him in front of everyone what I think. She stormed up to him, and she said, Winston, you are terribly drunk. And Churchill turned and immediately said, Madam, I may be terribly drunk, but in the morning I will be sober. You, on the other hand, are terribly ugly, and in the morning you will still be ugly. Can you imagine? Can you imagine having the courage to say something like that to someone of the opposite sex? You've got to admit that my hero, he had courage to proclaim the truth. She was an ugly woman, but he had no care. for her, for the lady to whom he spoke. And as we go into ministry, and as we face people problems in our counseling group, or if our pastoral care is not going so well, and we sense that people are starting to turn against us in our congregation, we may be tempted just to preach and not to pastor. We may be tempted just to give that Bible study message on a Wednesday night and not to take it any further, to deliberately and purposefully care for our flock. Well, that is why, secondly, we need to note that in ministry, if our ministries are going to be a success, we will need to be truly committed to care for those to whom we minister. If our ministries are to be a success, we will need to be truly committed to care for those to whom we minister. Look with me at our passage. The second half of verse 6, Paul writes, "As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children." Think of all the mothers that you see over at Swiss Tower, or the mothers walking through campus with their newborn babies, with their young child who's just 1 year old or less. Think of how you see those mothers with their eyes constantly on that little child. You see those mothers constantly caring for and loving for that little child, constantly, no matter what day it is, giving of their time and energy to care for that little child, and constantly looking out for the protection of that little child, so that that child may grow in safety and may develop well and may develop knowing that they are loved and cared for completely by their mother. That is how Paul cares for his flock in this passage. Paul isn't some guy who just turns up to preach and then walks off. No, here he turns up to preach. He has courage to proclaim the truth, but he also is completely committed to care for those to whom he ministers. Look at verse 8. He continues. He said, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but our lives as well." This is complete and total commitment to care for those to whom he ministers. Paul had a total commitment to care in his suitcase. When the disciples were getting all mixed up over status and power and position in the coming kingdom, Jesus in Matthew 20 turns to them, and what does he say? He says, "If any of you wants to be the greatest, you must become a servant of all. If any of you wants to be first, you must become a slave. You must become last." And as we go out into ministry, we are not just called to be preachers, but to be pastors. We are not just called to be mouthpieces, but to be ministers. We are not just called to be teachers of the people, but to be tender with our people. If we want our journeys into ministry and our time spent within ministry to be a success, then we will need to ensure that we have a great commitment to care for those to whom we minister. A few years ago, Prof. Hendricks, as he tells the story, he was stuck in an airport terminal waiting for his flight, and it was incredibly delayed, and it was getting more and more delayed into the evening. And all of the passengers in this terminal were getting incredibly angry. They were losing their temper. They were marching up to the airline staff desk and screaming at the airline staff members, giving them a piece of their mind. But Prof watched in amazement as one member of that airline staff team graciously responded to people screaming at her in her face, calmly apologized again and again, compassionately went to get glasses of water and snacks to give to them so that she could serve them all night. And this went on all evening. Finally, as Prof was about to get onto his flight, he went up to this lady and he said, "Excuse me, madam, could I please have your name? I want to write to your airline company to recommend you for a promotion." But the girl refused. Prof said, no, you misunderstand me. I'm not writing to criticize you. I want to recommend you for a promotion. But the girl refused. And after a few more times of this going on, the girl refusing and Prof asking, the girl finally said, sir, I'm not looking for a promotion. Because the truth is, when my husband brings me to this airport every single morning, he prays with me in his car, and he prays that today I might be a faithful servant of Christ by caring for everybody that I meet. And so, sir, I'm content just to do that in my life. Sir, I'm not looking for a promotion. Do you have commitment to care for those to whom you will minister like that, packed in your suitcase right now, ready for the journey? I want to urge you, be committed to care for those to whom you minister. One way that you can do this is by constantly ensuring that you put other people before yourself, especially in our busy world, especially in the area of time. When you are going into your new job, into your new ministry position, put others before yourself in the area of time, just so that you may be able to sit with them and encourage them and care for them. When you're scheduling your new schedule for your weeks in ministry and you're looking at those lunch hours and you're thinking, I would love to save those for myself, remember to put others before yourself and have at least two or three of those every week just to meet with people so that you can care for them, get into their lives, and be like Jesus Christ to them. Firstly, we have seen that if our ministries are to be a success, we will need to be truly committed to courage in proclaiming God's truth. Secondly, we have seen that if our ministries are to be a success, we will need to be committed to care for those to whom we minister. And thirdly, as we look at this passage, let's note that if our ministries are to be a success, we will need to be truly committed to godly convictions in private and in public. We will need to be truly committed to godly convictions in private and in public. Look at verse 10. Paul writes, you are witnesses and so is God. Don't miss those two little sentences. You are witnesses. That means in public. And so is God. That means in public and in private. Paul says, when I was in public, when I was in private, what does he say? I was holy, righteous, and blameless. When all eyes were on me, when no eyes were on me but God's eyes, I was holy, I was righteous, I was blameless. Paul packed in his suitcase a true commitment to godly convictions in private and in public. One of the most godly men that I know is my father. He's a pastor back in Ireland. And I've lived with him and I know what he's like behind the scenes, and he is godly. He has remained true to his godly convictions. A few years ago, he shared with me a prayer that he prays every single morning on his knees before he starts his day. Listen to this prayer. It is the prayer coming from a heart that beats for godliness in private and in public. He prays, Lord, I want you to come and possess my mind and control my thinking. I want you, Lord, to come and possess my eyes and direct the programs that I watch on TV, the magazines that I read, the books that I survey. I want you, Master, to be in charge of my tongue, that the words I say will be words that are constructive and encouraging and helpful and a blessing. I want you, Master, to be in charge of my feet, that where I go and the paths whereon I walk, that they may be honoring to you. I want you, God, to take my heart, that all my emotions and all my motivation and everything about me is what you would desire. I want you, Master, to take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. If I could be like one man in ministry, it would be to be like my dad, because he has remained true to his godly convictions in life and ministry, in private and in public. I want to ask you today, do you have commitment like that packed in your suitcase? I want to urge you, be committed to godly convictions in your life and in your ministry, in private and in public. One way that you can do this is by being totally transparent before the Lord, just like my father. Never give up on forcing yourself in prayer to see the struggles and the sins in your heart each day, to own those for yourself, to confess them to God, and to beg for his help and his cleansing and his forgiveness to help you keep on the path, still honoring him. Be committed to godly convictions in your life and in your ministry, in private and in public. So today we've asked ourselves, if our ministries are to be a success, in what ways will we need to be truly committed? We've noted, firstly, we will need to be truly committed to courage in proclaiming God's truth. And we can do this by pleasing God and not pleasing man. We will, secondly, need to be committed to care for those to whom we minister. And we can do this by putting others before ourselves. And lastly, we will need to be truly committed to godly convictions in our life and in our ministries, in private and in public. And we can do this by being completely transparent before the Lord. So as you zip up your suitcases, as you get ready to go into ministry this summer, into ministry for the rest of your lives, I urge you to ensure that the essential element of true commitment is packed. True commitment to Christ and his work. And not just to ensure today that it's packed, but every day, no matter where you go in ministry, no matter what you face, no matter what the Lord would call you to, take that suitcase full of all of the essentials for ministry and take with you a true commitment to Christ and his work. If we want our journeys into ministry and our time spent within ministry to be a success in bringing God glory, we will need to pack true commitment to Christ and his work in our suitcases. I pray that wherever you go, you may take this commitment with you for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, take our lives and let them be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take our minds, take our hearts, take our energy, take our time, take our will, and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Help us, Lord, to be completely committed to you for the glory of your Son, and for the building up of his body. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.